We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Experiencing Freedom and Victory, from the series, The Power of the Gospel, encouraging you that through the power of the gospel, you can live free and victorious. He'll show you how you can do that today. Now, here's today's program.
Here's what the world says. There's no way you can be a virgin outside of marriage. Here's what the world says to singles. You've already had sex outside of marriage. Why stop now? Here's what the world says. That's so backwards and so naive. Nobody could expect you to be able to control your passions. Here's what the Bible says. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of what? Self-discipline. According to God, you can live holy and pure as a single. You can totally do that. But it's not about you knowing that. Well, I know I could. It's probably the right thing to do. That won't help you when you're put in a situation. What helps you is this. I'm making a choice to honor God to do this so I never put myself in that situation. And then, God, I want you to show me how to fulfill that. That person will live pure. Guys, we've talked about this all. I just feel like I have the need to share it because I hear these stories all the time. Porn. Yeah, I'm married, but you know, I'm into porn and all that stuff. That's just how I am. You know, I've read how that's damaging. I've read how that's this. I've read how that's, I'm working hard at it. I'm trying. That's not how you fix porn. Here's how you fix porn. You make a moral choice to never touch it again. Well, how do I do that? Put your computer in the middle of the house. Tell your wife that you struggle with it. Tell her you want to be done with it. Tell five other guys, I don't ever want to deal with this ever again. I'm doing whatever it takes so this is out of my life. You start living that way, it'll change your mindset about everything else. You want to be generous with your finances? Here's how most people think about how to be generous with their finances. When I make a little more money, I'll have a little more to give and I'll be generous. You'll never be generous. You'll be less generous the more money you make. You know how to be generous? Take what you have now, decide what generosity looks like according to God, and say, I'm going to lavish this towards the Lord in a way that's so ridiculously generous, and this is all I have now. And I'm going to begin to think about how God could come through. Do that, and you'll become generous. It always starts with your actions. It always starts with obedience, not knowledge. And can I just tell you this? In America, in the culture in which we live in, we want to work backwards. Hey, just tell me what I need to know, Pastor. I'm going to study this. I'm going to do a 5-year study on generosity. I'm going to know every chapter and verse on what it looks like to be generous. And then maybe someday, it'll never work. I've been in 8 years of grad school with people that study the Bible, many of whom don't live any of it out. Your education doesn't change your heart. Your obedience does. If you're 10 years old and you're hearing what I'm saying and you're making a choice to honor God, He will give you more and more revelation as to what that looks like. And that's the power of God. God wants you to experience His freedom. You experience His freedom by putting into practice the very little thing God tells you to do. And can I just tell you, I never, ever, ever, never get tired of hearing people's stories about how they took a baby step of faith of obedience with God. Never. Because they tell me the story. It goes something like this. Hey, God was just convicting me that I needed to break up with this guy or I needed to break up with this girl, and it was killing me because I'm older now and I didn't know if I was ever going to get married, but I knew it was what God wanted me to do. So I knew I wasn't living the way He wanted. So I just trusted Him and I did what He said, and it was so hard, and here's what I did, and guess what God did? I'm like, He showed up, didn't He? Yeah, totally, and I'm totally filled, and He brought me this, and He did. Yeah, that's what He does. We only had so much money, and we felt like God wanted us to be generous, but we didn't know what to do. But we were like, God, we trust You, and so here you go, and we don't know if You're going to show up. And you know what He did? Like 2 weeks later, I got a brand new job. I made twice as much money as what I was doing before. That's not prosperity gospel. That's not, hey, give to God, and He'll give you more. It's this. Obedience to God always brings further revelation and greater freedom in Christ. If you'll take the baby step you know you need to take, God will show up. Here's the problem. You want to know? We want to take what other people's baby steps are. God, why do I have to do this? Why can't I do what You want them to do? That's easy. Because this is what He's calling you to do. I remember being called into ministry. I'm like, I'll take any step but that step. I started listening to all my friends who were better speakers than me. I'm like, call them, take them. Let me go make money. I'll even support them. No, I want you. This is a step for you. Will you do what I want you to do? See, God doesn't debate with you. You want freedom? Seek the Lord and do what he says. You'll experience it. I promise you. God will show up. Now, the whole time that you begin to be obedient, because you can get fired up about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's do this. I used the example last week of Israel, waiting 400 years to get out of bondage. Finally, they get to go that night. Let's do this. Let's pack it up. Let's take all their money with us. Let's go. Hey, God opened up the Red Sea. God parted it. God closed it on them. Awesome. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? God always shows up. God's awesome. 3 days later, what are they saying? Man, Egypt's so much better than out here in the wilderness. They had leeks and garlic and good food. I mean, we had it. We had the good life back there. Really, you were slaves for 400 years. You were beaten and mistreated for 400 years. You want to go back. That's exactly what happens when you begin to walk obediently with Christ. You get fired up about what God wants you to do. You know what he wants you to do. But then you start walking it out and you're like, wait a second. It feels pretty lonely doing this. Wait a second. It doesn't feel comfortable doing this. Israel was 10 days away from the promised land. But because of their disobedience and because of their lack, they waited 40 years. Some of you are just a week away from being set totally free from the things that kept you in bondage for years and years. But when you start walking that out, it's why you need other people in your life to encourage you. Keep walking it out. Keep doing it. It's okay. Nobody's going to champion what you're doing, but God sees you walking alone, doing what you're doing, and you can experience freedom with him. Because if you focus on the flesh, it's going to lead to death, and it's hostile towards God. But if you focus on the Spirit, there's life and there's peace. Did you know that when you do things God's way, there's always life and peace, which brings joy? I mean, the Bible makes it pretty clear. If you ever want to know, and we won't spend a whole lot of time reading through this morning, you can do it on your own in Galatians chapter 5. You're like, well, how do I know if I'm living by the flesh, and how do I know if I'm living by the Spirit? In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, Paul shows us, he says, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't walk in the flesh. You can't do both at the same time. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he begins to talk about the works of the flesh. I think he lists 15 of them. Works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and those things like these. I warn you as I warned you before. He's not making an exhaustive list. He starts listing like 15 things. And he's like, yeah, and things like that. I mean, they're obvious. You know how you're living for yourself. But then he goes on to talk about the Spirit. He goes, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against things, there's no such law. You pursue the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that has those 9 sections, you pursue that, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. You pursue the flesh, you will not honor God. Yeah, but they need to say that they're sorry for the way that they treated me. That's your flesh. They don't need to say anything to you. Because if you have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and long-suffering, it doesn't matter what they do. Your freedom is not dependent upon anybody else. If you're saying, I can't be free because of my mom or my dad or my sister or my coach or the people at church or the people at work, that's your problem, not a problem with the Spirit of God. That's you saying, my flesh is craving something from somebody else that it's not getting. That's why I can't live free. And God would say, you have everything you need for life and godliness through him who loves you. You have it all. You can live free. See, it's kind of like this. You want to live a pure life? Focus on purity and start living moral purity. You want to have a generous life? Start thinking about what it looks like to be generous and then do it. You want to have a loving life? Start loving other people. You want to have a forgiving life? Just start forgiving people. Just ask this. This is a great prayer. God, bring people in my life I can forgive. He'll do it. I promise you. Right? God wants you to do that. But notice this. God not only wants you to be free, God wants you to have victory. And God provided the plan for victory by sending his Holy Spirit. Notice what it says in the following verses. I think this is the clearest teaching on when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. It says this, you, however, those of us who are born again, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Let's just talk about the Holy Spirit for a minute. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Here's what the Bible says. When you're converted, the Holy Spirit comes immediately to indwell you. The Bible says if the Holy Spirit is not in you, then you're not of Christ. How do I know if I'm of Christ? Because the Holy Spirit's in me. How do I know the Holy Spirit's in me? Because I've been born again and I believe that Jesus died and rose for me. That's when the Holy Spirit comes in. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we've been baptized into the family of God. That's when that happens. Here's the question. You get all of the Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion. Here's the question. Does the Holy Spirit have all of you? See, he's there. And here's the problem with a teaching, in my opinion, and other great Bible scholars think a little different on this, and I'm cool with that. But my opinion on thinking there's this like second or third or fourth experience, I think it's wrong because now we're waiting for God to do some miraculous work when God says, I'm already in you. I'm willing to do the miraculous work now. Now, what I'm not saying is there's not other encounters or experiences that go deeper, because I think that the more that you walk with the Spirit of God, God does different things. You can experience different things. You can be like, man, I didn't know I had this gift. I didn't know God could do this. I didn't know God could free me from that. I believe there's further experiences, but I want to let you know from the moment in time that you trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit's there. Now, what's the Holy Spirit's job? What's his number one job? You know what his number one job is? To magnify the resurrected Jesus Christ. He wants to put Jesus Christ on display. Where does he want to put Jesus Christ on display? In your life. That's what he cares about, and that's all he cares about. He doesn't care about your success and Jesus. He doesn't care about your prosperity and Jesus. He cares about Jesus looking really, really good. So when you live by the Spirit who is in you and say, Jesus, Jesus, I just want you to look good in me, the Holy Spirit's like, I'll answer that one. I'll make you look good, Jesus, because that's what he does. It says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, while our body may be dead, the Spirit's alive in us. He's living and active. See, isn't this a great teaching? I mean, think about it for a second. There is no other teaching in the world, in any religion, that teaches that God comes to indwell his people. None. So how can I live out this righteousness? Here's what God says. Not only will I declare you righteous, but I will send the third person of the Trinity, the essence of my very self, to make sure that you live out the very demands that I have. The Holy Spirit wants you to live righteously. He'll show you how to live righteously. And if you're obedient to what he shows you, you will ultimately live it out. Christian, listen to me. It's why after you are converted, there's some point in your life after you were converted that God began to show you to do something and you didn't do it. And you felt bad about it. See, most Christians feel bondage and shame, not because of sins they committed before they were Christians, but rather sins they committed after they were Christians. Like, I know God forgave all that garbage, but I should have known better. Why? No, you shouldn't have, because what was going on is you were kind of a baby in Christ, and the Holy Spirit was showing you something, and you didn't do it. And when you didn't, here's the voice that went off. The devil said to you, yeah, you're a Christian, and you still live like you used to. It didn't work. No, I'm a saint who didn't follow what the Holy Spirit showed me to do, and thank God that's already forgiven, and I'm redeemed, and I'm holy, and I'm good, and devil, shut up, because Jesus crushed your head, and you have no authority or power over me to speak into my life. True? That's what the Bible teaches. So God sent me his Holy Spirit because he knew I couldn't accomplish it on my own. That's why in John 15, 5, Jesus said these words. Say it with me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you believe that?
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Experiencing Freedom and Victory, from the series, The Power of the Gospel. He's showing you how you can live free and victorious in your Christian walk. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
John 15, 5, Jesus said these words. Say it with me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you believe that? See, the further I travel in my Christian life, the more I believe that. I can't do anything that's pleasing to God. It's his Spirit inside of me. And notice what he says in this next verse. He says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead... Okay, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now think about the sin you struggle with for a minute. The one you can't get over. The one that's just too big. The one that when people point out to you, you don't like to talk about. That one. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now living on the inside of you. It's assurance that one day the Holy Spirit will resurrect our dead bodies and give us a glorified bodies, but it's also evidence that guess what? He lives with us now. Jesus is not telling you, go fix it, go work on it, go do this. He's saying, depend upon me and my Spirit who is already dwelling inside of you so that you can live victorious in the present. So how does that work? How does that work? 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul is writing. He's talking about a messenger from Satan that came. He refers to it as a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh is. Every Bible scholar has a different idea as to what the thorn in the flesh is. My ideas of it change all the time. I don't know. Nobody knows. But it was a messenger from Satan that was sent, and Paul asked three times for the Lord to take it out. You know what the Lord says? No. I'm not taking it out, but my power is perfected in what? Weakness. Weakness. Did you hear that? See, sometimes we think that because we have authority over the devil through who we are in Christ, that we just get to live like with our, you know, chest kind of puffed out, like, we're awesome, I'm a Christian. You will fall flat on your face because pride cometh before fall. How does the Lord work? In humility. Lord, I can't get over this thing. Lord, I've tried for years, I can't change. Lord, I'm not even sure that I want to change. And I'm coming to you to tell you that you see me different than how I even see myself. And I'm begging for your help because apart from you, I'm never going to get through this. See, that's a different thing. Because I've watched in my own life and I've watched in the lives of other people, you can try all you want for the rest of your life to overcome sin. And I'm letting you know right now, you don't have the power. But if there's one thing God ignites, it's humility. It's weakness. It's telling God we can't. It's telling God, I can't get there without you. You got a drinking problem? You're going to go work on it? Good luck. You got a purity problem? You're going to go work on it? Good luck. You got an anger problem? Go work on it? Good luck. Because what ends up happening when we work on it, we keep charts and graphs. Man, last week I got angry 17 times. This week I'm going for 15. I'm sure those other 15 people are really excited that you only got angry 15 times this week. And now I only did it 10, and now I only did 7, and shoot, this week, 74 times. But that's because I had to deal with this. We'll make excuses for everything. Stop keeping charts and graphs. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And what you do is you repent and you tell the Lord, you've shown me that I'm angry. You've shown me I can't change. I've demonstrated over the course of time I can't do it. And Lord, I'm coming to you saying, change me. I can't change. I'm powerless to change. If you don't change me, I'll never change. And I'm going to stop keeping records of being angry. I'm just going to try to submit to you and trust that you're going to do a work in my life. You do that over time, he'll take it out. If you go work on your porn. Go work on your marriage. Go work. You can't do it. You don't have the power. God does. In humility when you get before him. And I've seen some of the bigger sins in my life change when I've actually been honest in my prayer rather than this. You ever do those commitment prayers? You know what I'm talking about? The one where you're sitting here today and you say, God, I commit to you from this point on, I'll never, and then you fill in the blank. Those last till you make it to the car, usually, right? God, I commit, I'm committing. Your commitment means nothing to the Lord. Your humility means everything. Lord, I'm done committing to you. Lord, the reality is I'm probably going to sin this way again, even though I don't want to. And I'm coming to you for help because if you don't change me, I'm doomed to live this way. But I see in your word I don't need to. And I see in your word that I'm a saint. And I see in your word that you can help me. So, Lord, I'm just begging for your help. Help. God shows up every single time over time. And then you don't keep records of wrong anymore because love, perfect love is what we look for. I'm not keeping records. God already loves me. I'm not performing for him. God, it's your job to change me. I'll be willing to submit and show you things. So how do we do that? Well, the Bible makes that clear too in this very passage, that your daily victories are determined by yielding to his Holy Spirit. Your daily victories are determined by yielding to his Holy Spirit. Notice this. So then, brothers, we are not debtors. We are debtors, rather, but not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you live according to the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You get a choice daily as to what you're going to yield to. You can yield to the Spirit of God, who through his word and through his spirit speaking inside of you shows you what to do, or you can yield to your flesh. Now notice what it says. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father, which is Daddy, Father, help me. I can't become what you want me to do. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Here's what you owe the flesh. Zippo. Nada. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, nothing has seized you except what is common to man. No temptation. There's nothing you're tempted to do where God would look down and say, you know what, you're the only person in the world that's tempted to do that. As I've said so many times, you're not so special that Satan invented a unique strategy for you. Whatever you're sinning, there's myriads of other people that are sinning the same way, but you don't need to submit to it. And when you call out in dependence on the Lord and you say, Lord, I don't want to live this way anymore. Show me the way out. Do you know God will always, 100% of the time, show you a way? Lord, I don't want to sin in this way anymore. And if you show me what I can do, I'll do what you want. Do you know he always will show you the way? You may not like the way. You may not be happy with what he shows you, but he'll show you. And if you do it, there's a pathway to freedom and there's a pathway to victory. And let me tell you something else. Been a Christian for 25 years. There's times I've walked in freedom and victory, and there are times, especially early on, that I lived in bondage and I lived in defeat. And being a Christian and living in bondage and defeat is horrible. It's a bad feeling. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to be around those happy Christians anymore. Those people are just making stuff up. You know, they're not. They're just being obedient step by step. Oh, you think they're better than me? No, they're not better than you. It's available to you. But how do you walk it out is really important. And here's the truth. You have to walk it out on a daily basis. I mean, it's the difference between a trolley car and your car. I mean, your car, you know what you can do? You can fill it up with gas. Maybe you fill it up once a week. You store up gas. And then when it comes time to drive, you just drive it. But not a trolley car. If a trolley car is not connected to electricity, it doesn't go anywhere. It has to remain in constant contact to move. You have to remain in constant contact with the Spirit to move. You can't store up. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here have bought milk this year? How many drink milk? Anybody milk drinkers? They say it does a body good. Some of you guys drink milk, right? How many of you bought all your milk in January for the entire year and put it in your refrigerator? It doesn't work, does it? It might last you through half the month. And then for the rest of the year, all you got is sour milk, right? Some of us approach God like that and are yielding to the Spirit. Well, I yielded in January. God wanted me to forgive. I forgave him. What more does he want from me? He wants you to walk with him daily. He wants you to walk with him daily because there's always something that the Lord is doing to grow us so that we can experience more freedom, that we can experience more victory. And when we experience freedom and victory, guess what there is in our life? Can I give you one word? There's hope. 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 This is available to you. You can have all of this. There's not these levels of believers where all of a sudden, well, this believer, he's really, really good at it, and this believer's bad. Nobody's good at it. Can I tell you, it's like riding a bike? When you guys learned to ride a bike, who here learned to ride a bike by watching a PowerPoint video? Who here went to a scientific study on balance? See, I mean, we can give a definition of balance, but we can't describe what balance feels like until somebody else has it, right? So you go learn to do it, and you're like, well, it's just balance. You just get it. And once you got it, you got it. Everybody tells me that about skiing too. They're like, it's not a sport, Jeff, it's gravity. You just go, well, yeah, but I don't know what I'm doing, right? I haven't got the feel of it yet. That's why as Christians, you may not have the feel of it yet. And it's okay because you can't screw it up, because what if you try to follow the Spirit and you mess it up? You're already forgiven, so just confess it and move on. And the more you follow the Spirit, the more you'll know him. And the more intimately acquainted you become with him, the more painful it is when you grieve him. And that's okay too. Because that just shows you're living more intimately with him. So don't worry about messing it up. It's not about you taking, I'm going to be free, I'm going to be victorious. No, I'm going to humble myself before God, and what he shows me, I'm going to ask him to help me with. Because I realize apart from him, what? I can do nothing.
Thanks for joining us today on Brave. That was Pastor Jeff and the message, Experiencing Freedom and Victory, from the series, The Power of the Gospel, challenging you to live free and victorious in your Christian walk. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.